Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. live on YouTube. And as a matter of fact, just let the young lion be all that good talking, because I'm going to be stumbling and bumming around. We're just bringing the young lion in by saying, yup, young lion, Brother Micaiah, yup, I'll be there, see you right.
Yahweh
bless you,
said Israel.
Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah, boy. Well, now we know we're live. And he said that he can say a couple of words in terms of the young man and tell us what we got going on and walk us up to the right and how you did, where you did in it. So, young man, take the time and let's see what we can get going on the top part of Saturday for all of the people around the world.
Well, it's real, Steve Roy. We live everywhere. We're live on Blog Talk, live on Power Talk, live on YouTube. You can catch us on YouTube at BOTTY Tribe 5HDH. Gotcha. That's BOTTY Tribe 5HDH. Gotcha. So you can catch us on YouTube live, but you also can catch us on Facebook live too at BOTTY. Look us up. You'll find us on there live too. And be all big in and get your pen and time and go listen on in. And if you want to catch it on the broadcast, you can always go back and tune in to one of the lessons on your Saturday. And do a couple reviews on it or something that you haven't heard or something you need to learn. But once again, we live on Power Talk. We live on Blog Talk. We live on YouTube. You can catch us on YouTube at BOTTY Tribe 5HDH. And also you can catch us live on Facebook, BOTTY. Look us up. All right, over to you, Jerry Brad.
All right, that's what all about. Remember my name, get in where you get in there. If you got skills, bring your skills. It's going to be doing a great thing for the birthday of the Almighty God. Remember, man, true neighbor, we're trying to get all that of our Lord wants to come. So those that got a insight on whatever you can deal with, you can deal with it, you can deal with it, you know. The King of Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3, that, you know, don't conform to such as the world, and otherwise get in with it, you can deal with it, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to do our part in just as y'all run. Perhaps we do your part in just as y'all run. We all be and give us Matthew 25, 21. And just say, well, here comes my good and faithful servant. That's the whole thing about this thing. It's all about getting the blessings, man. You get faithful on a few things, and I'm going to bless you with many. That's what it's about, see, right? Our goal is one thing. Don't conform unto this word, and keep my eyes on the prize of Yahweh's word. All right, we're going to see who come on stage for the night. Top part of Saturday, and we see Mother Eve. Israel, she said, I'm a city, if this part I can do is get in where I can get in, and I'm going to do my part, and that's all about. That's what it's all about. So, that's the time is for Mother. Who Israel? One of the most out of camp born. Hey, Bobby. Not far be there, see you
ready. Hey,
y'all,
Israel. Oh,
please,
Lord.
That's what y'all want. Mother, you're about it. Mother, you need by a gun. And that's what it's all about. Because of the they're on their way, but they're going to be watching our moves. They're watching Moses' moves. They're watching Jesus' moves. And when that spirit is going to live, they're going to say, look here, let my Lord, my seed, let the glory out there in it. And that's what it's all about. See, what we're doing, we're laying down on what God is saying. See, we're not going to tell anybody. We just go 12 times in Israel and tell you what God is saying. And that's the end of it. So we shouldn't bring our elders in, Moses. Stand by, Mother. We're going to put some verses down on the table, but we bring our elders in. So we're going to get and tell you all about the dog cat talking about the Saturday. And take notes. I already tell you, take notes, because we don't know what's going to be said. And we see a few people online. So you never know what's going to be said in any broadcast. So take notes. And you will be all right. Okay. Sister S. D. J. Israel. Take notes. One thing about it. When you try to blame something to anyone, make sure clearly you have a verse on the table. Then tell them, get around that verse first. Tell them, put this verse, put any verse on the table and say, get around that. Because you need to know what's wrong.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. I'll be your host for a series we're doing called Seed Royal, Nobles of Israel, the Nobles of Yagda, Clean House. Got a lot of memos. Fix the blame, solve the problem. So what we're going to do, how we're going to fix this blame and solve the problem, bring the young lion in, he'll tell you about all, bring the broadcast up, and then we can see if we can get something live and, you know, get something live for tape number four of this series we're doing. So we're going to find the young lion. He came out of his den now. So I believe he's ready to do a little rowing. So let's see if we find him. Young lion, tribe of Yahda Judah. Yahweh be just saying, right?
And Yahweh bless you there, dear Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Oh, y'all brought that young man. Well, one thing I do know, it got to be done. So, and we know you gonna do your part, and I'm gonna do mine. So that's all I can tell you right now. And so let's talk about who bring this broadcast. And this broadcast we on now, who behind it, and who all carrying the broadcast while we sit up to do our part shortly. So look and tell us who bringing the broadcast there, young line, and that give me a chance to step a little bit, but I'm all ears. So young line, tribe of Yahda Judah, who all carrying this broadcast as we speak? Come on.
All right, see it's where see it right now we know we live on Blog Talk Radio. But we also you can catch us on Pal Talk, and you can catch us on YouTube. You can type in those keys for the YouTube page at VOTTY Tribe YHDH. Once again, you can catch us on YouTube at VOTTY Tribe YHDH. You can also catch us on Facebook. And you can just type in those keys and pull up BOTTY on the Facebook page, and we'll pop up. And if you have any questions or comments, you can also call the international line at 224-600-5579. Once again, that number is 224-600-5579. I want you to know that on any one of our stations, you can pull up any one of the previous shows, like Facebook, anytime we was live, or anytime you missed an episode, anything like that from the Blog Talk Radio. You can also pull it up on Facebook. And also on the Blog Talk Radio, you can just go pull us up at TribeYHDH, TribeYHDH. And you'll catch us at Voice of the Tree as well, like. And you can pull up the Blog Talk radio station and pull up any one of the previous lessons as well. And you can always follow us and listen in live on Pow Talk. You can catch us in the Pow Talk room as well. Don't forget about the YouTube page at BOTTY, TribeYHDH. Once again, any one of the previous uploaded shows that we had put on the station or the YouTube page. And we want to make sure we edify the audience, make sure that the people know that we got a big job to do. So that's how we rolling right now, Sis Real C. Roy. We say over to you, Sis Real. Rabbi Yada Jew. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There, young man. Well, you know, I got a lot of memos in, and one of a major question was asked. Sincere, you know, we agree with the broadcast, and why do you emphasize so much about the children of Israel? Why do you emphasize so much about the children of Israel, and it's about everybody? And I said, well, you know, I said in my mind, that's a great question. Why do we emphasize so much about the children of Israel? So, and we know we putting together a 12 Tribes of Israel school book for, well, matter of fact, it can be for the children, but in the same token, it can be for the adults too, because it can be for everybody. So that's a great question. Why do we emphasize so much about the children of Israel? So, young man, let's see if we do a little run on that emphasize, because see, one thing about it, when statements is made and it's a genuine statement, you have to investigate why do you make so much of emphasis on the children of Israel and basically no one else. Now, help me out there, young man. I'm looking for a book, since that's what we own, but maybe I'll be able to get everything situated better if we can see what do Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say. Maybe I'll be able to get myself situated, young man, after we hear from Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Young man, what that say?
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
Yeah, and I believe that, young man. And we don't run away from anything. If any question is legit, we will examine it, spirit led, on the run, because we just heard that. So we want to examine that spirit led thing, young line, by looking at the book of Thomas, verse 3. Let's look at Thomas, verse 3. We know the book of Thomas is not in the canon. But the book of Thomas, he's very legit, because I tell you what, let's see if we find his resume real quick. Let's get his resume first. Let's go to Genesis, Matthew chapter 10. And what we're looking for is the resume of Thomas. Why should we even listen to anything Thomas got to say? Let's see if we put up his resume in the Bible there, young lion. And Matthew chapter 10, let's see. If Thomas got something to say, why should we listen to him? Let's find out. In Genesis chapter 10, can we read until we catch, till we find his name? In Genesis 10:1, we try to put up his resume to see why would we say anything about going to the book of Thomas. What is his resume that we can read? 10, verse, keep reading down until you find Thomas and get his resume. There. Come on there, young line.
All right, we're going to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. We're picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, "And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas."
So we find out that Thomas is one of the 12 that was picked to be a disciple of the Mighty One. So he was picked to be a disciple, Thomas is. So now, and if that's the case, he was picked to be a disciple, that young lion. And what was said to Thomas, he was picked to be a disciple. But what was said to him that we can read in the 20th chapter of St. John? Something was said to him there, young lion. You know, we just going to shoot the spirit lead, but when you stand back off of it, you're going to see exactly why we do what we do by resumes. Resumes. The 20th chapter of St. John. Can we look right down at verse number 24? St. John chapter 20, and pick up verse 24 there, young lion. What does that say?
All right, we're going over to the book of St. John chapter 20, and we're picking it up at verse number 24. The book of St. John chapter 20, verse number 24 reads, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Yahweh the Son came, seeing the Yahweh. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I would not believe." Verse 26. "And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Yahweh the Son, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, Reach here your finger, and behold my hand, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe."
28. All right. See that? So there it is. Now once he taken Thomas to the side and taken to the Almighty School, let's see what happened next after that. Now, he said, Thomas, don't be faithless, believe. Now let's see, when you are a believer, what do you do next behind exactly what he said? what would you do next? Read the next verse.
All right. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Yahuwah. 29.
So Thomas, once Thomas got enlightened, when he looked at him, it was clear that he was what again now, young man? He looked
My Yahuwah.
Go ahead.
And verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Yahuwah.
So what do that mean? It's going to St. John 5:43. See, once you is enlightened, that's what we come on this broadcast to enlighten you. See, once you enlightened on why we do what we do, then you have the same conclusion if you enlighten the proper way. So when Thomas was called doubting Thomas, Yahweh came and pulled him to the side and rehabilitate him, because like I said again, and like us today as a people, we all over the place. But we come on this broadcast 6 nights a week and be back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock to turn the light on, to inform you why we do what we do. Now, you folks at the same resort as to look at and say, My Yahuwah. Why did he say that? We're going to St. John 5:43.
Okay, we're going over to the book of St. John, chapter 5, and we're picking up at verse 43. The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 43 reads, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
So you see, so he came in his Father's name, and that's why he was called by the Father's name when he walked the face of earth. He was called Yahuwah. He was not called Yahshua, Lord, Jesus. When you enlightened, you will see this man as Yahuwah the Son in the flesh. See, once you enlightened, this is what you will see. So the signs you'll see, now we got to get a precept on that in Matthew 16. So that's why I say you have to always put Luke 12:12 on the table, then he'll start enlightening you on where he wants the lesson to go. So now we're going to Matthew 16 there, young lion. And once you enlighten, you will see him as Yahuwah. Now we'll get a precept verse on that by going to Matthew chapter 16. And there's a question on the table. And we're going to pick it around by verse number 13. 16:13, and we'll read till we get our point. We're going to read down to verse 16. Listen good, because see, the same way the Spirit operates, it operates to those that become a believer. So now we're going to get another precept on a case in point by going to Matthew 16 and pick up at verse 13 down to verse 16. Take your time, young line. I think we're going to stumble up on something, young line. So we might well deal with it and put our case on why we do what we do, because I have reviewed a lot of the tape. And we specifically, all we hear you basically talking about is the children of Israel and nobody else. So that's what I want to know. Why do y'all do that? Okay, good. That's a good question. It's an honest question. And we're going to find out along the way, or find out something in Matthew 16:13 down to verse 16. What did it say there, young man?
The book of Matthew, chapter 16 down to verse 15. Verse 13 reads, when Yahuwah the Son came.
Yeah, took 16. It out of the 16.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13 down to 16. Verse 13 reads, when Yahweh the Son came into the coast of Caesarea, Philip, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah the seer, or one of the seers. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are Yahweh, the Son of the living Yahweh, the Father.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So you see, once you are enlightened, you will see this man as Yahweh, the Son. That's once you enlightened. So you will see that you will see him as Yahweh the Son. Then you will see the prophecy in the book or the 49th chapter of Isaiah. See, we're going to shoot a spirit led through Yahweh. We're going to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. And we're going to just follow the little to get in here and tell you, yeah, that sounds pretty good. You on something, here. Now go to Isaiah 49, verse 5 and 6. What it say that we can read in Isaiah 49, verse 5 and 6? What it say there, young lion?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5 reads, and now, saith the Yahweh, that formed me from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Israel again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Yahweh shall be my strength. Verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
Uh-huh. So the prophecy we read here that was told to Isaiah, that there's a conversation going on in heaven. And he was telling Isaiah the seer that he was formed from the womb, and his mission was to bring again Israel to him. So he was to bring Israel to him, although they not gathered. Now, how do you make a statement like that in 700 B.C., although they not gathered? But his mission, when he do come in the flesh, it was to bring Israel to him and also be a light to the Gentile. Now, that's big talk right there. So now we clear on some good stuff here that what he got to do when he come in the body was to bring Israel again to him. He said, but it's the right thing for you to bring Israel to me. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles. That's big. Now see, that's big talk. So we have to examine what we read here, but this is some good talk. So what got to be done, let's go to the book of Susanna. Go to the book of Susanna there, 148, young lion. See, that's how Yahweh operates. We go on to the book of Susanna out there, the red book that was taken away in 1885. And we're going to look at something in chapter 1, verse 48. in the book of Susanna. What do it say there, young lion, in the book of Susanna 1:48? What it say?
We're going to the book of Susanna, chapter 1, verse 48. Verse 48 reads, "So he standing in the midst of them said, are you such fools, you sons of Israel, that without examination or knowledge of the truth, you have condemned a daughter of Israel?"
He said, "You fools, oh Israel, you got to always examine something. Don't just take nobody's word for anything. You have to always examine. See, I mean, you had always examine it. Then you precept to examine something. How do you examine anything? Why we do what we do? You got to examine it." So in the 17th chapter, verse 10 and 11 of Acts, let's talk about how do you examine anything. See, remember, the key to it is examine things. Why do we talk about the children of Israel and the four-letter man, YHWH? Okay, good. Because we examine things. And for you to know the truth of the matter, you have to examine things also, and then you will see it through these lessons that can unfold today and tomorrow on why we specifically talked about the children of Israel, and we talked about the four-letter man, Yahweh. We're going to examine that and see what can we get out of Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. What does it say there, young lion?
Look back, 10 and verse number 11. Verse 10 reads, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul to Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the temple of Yahdah Judah." Verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so."
You see that? They searched, they heard what was going on, but they searched the scriptures daily to see what was saying so. And see, that's what we have to have a tool to search the scriptures daily to see whatever we've been taught, can it hold up? Go to 2 Thessalonians. I'll make it 1:5-21. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 there, young man. Go on to that book, 5:21.
All right.
What do you say?
You're going to the book of... We're going to the book of 1 Thessalonians, verse 21. 21 reads, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good."
Prove all things and hold fast what's good. See, the key to it is to prove all things and hold fast what is good. There you go. Let's run to the book called Philippians, chapter 4. Verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8.
All right, we're going over to the book of Philippians. You want chapter 4? We're going to pick it up at verse number 8. We're going over to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, verse number 8 reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise on these things."
Is
that? Verse 9. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Verse 9.
So again, that's it. That's 4-8. That's all up on one verse. So he says, again, he's saying, in a nutshell, approve all things, hold things as good. Make sure what you're saying, you saying it because you can prove what you're working with. Let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18. See, we're going to run you around the backyard for a minute, but then we're going to run you around the backyard, then we're going to cut straight through the middle and be ready at the throat of what we're trying to bring, and we'll put the kung fu grip on the neck, and then we're going to weigh it out. We're going to set it up to weigh you out. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18 says what? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18.
The book of Romans chapter 14. Verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17 reads, "For the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the righteous spirit." Verse 18, "For he that in these things serveth Yahweh the Son is acceptable to Father and approved of men."
You see what he say? He said, now the kingdom is not just meat and drink. See, the kingdom is going to be righteousness. See, if your goal is to one day be in the kingdom, you know, as we taught in Christendom, Islam, Judaism, are up and away. But we found out one thing, but we found out what we just got through reading, that you have to be, to get to the kingdom, you have to be righteous. There's go right there. So you have to be righteous to get to the kingdom, and we go on precept and see how do you be righteous, and then we're going to find out, well, who is righteous, but this is how you got to be to get to the kingdom. We found out that you got to be righteous. You got to be righteous. How do you be righteous in 625 of Deuteronomy? How do you be righteous? We go on and get there. What you call the heavenly tablet on the first five books is going to give us a definition how to be righteous, and you got to examine yourself and see how you righteous yourself by looking at 625 of a book called Deuteronomy. What does it say, that young man?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25. 25 reads, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, laws, before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us."
It will be our right if we do the commandments that he commanded us. Now, that's a broad word. That if we just say and leave it like it is, to do the commandments that up to do it, that is all over the place. So we got to tighten that up. Who are you talking to about doing your commandments in the us that we can read all together? We're going to see about the us by going to Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, 9 to verse 8. We're going to Exodus chapter 19 there, young line. 3 down to verse 8, and keep that academy voice going on, because we're working on something. We're building as it unfolds. Exodus 19, 3 down to verse 8. You're on something. Keep it moving. Come on.
3 down to verse 8. Verse 3 reads, "And Moses went up unto Yahweh, and the Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the family of Israel, and tell the children of Israel." Verse 4. "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an righteous nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Yahuwah commanded him. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Yahuwah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahuwah.
Now, so we find out that he was talking specifically to the children of Israel, and the Almighty said to Moses, now you go tell the children of Israel, if you do this, this is what you got coming. If you keep my covenant, and you will be a special people to me, these are the words that was told to by Moses to Aaron to tell the children of Israel. That's nice. So now we're going to run into the new book, which really is a continuation of writing, but we'll talk about the new book. So we're going to the new book, you see, as time progresses on, did anything change? Now he says, the Almighty told Moses, you go tell the children of Israel, if you do this, you will be a special people unto me. Well, I hear you saying WCC, World Council of Churches, it don't send no special people. It says peculiar people. Okay, good. But if you precept that, just to put you at comfort zone, it definitely tell you what the word peculiar mean by going to Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. So let's take care of WCC there, young line. We won't take care of WCC because they saying that it don't say what you just got to read. So if it don't say that, that means we got to precept that and find out exactly what do peculiar mean. You'll be a peculiar people to me. So let's precept that, young lion, for the WCC and Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And let's find out what is the Bible definition of peculiar people unto him. What does it say in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6?
In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, picking it up at verse number 6, verse 6 reads, For you are an righteous people unto the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. The Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Yeah. So we do find out that the word peculiar means the Almighty four-letter man is telling the children of Israel, if you obey and do right, because you've been chosen to be a special people, again, above all nations, not tied in with them, but above all nations. So this is the bragging right that was given to the children of Israel, and the world understood it then, but they don't understand it now. But our job is to bring back the good old days, according to the Bible. So when young line read in 19 verse 5, if you keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Then we precept that to 7 verse 6 and find out the word peculiar means special and above all people. So you see that? When you precept your Bible, that's when you get the understanding, but you have to precept your Bible. So now, and then once you precept your Bible, you go to Deuteronomy 26, 15 down to verse 19, and it tells you the benefit of it. Precept your Bible to get the benefit of it. So now let's see what happens when you precept your Bible and understand your role was to be a kingdom of priests, a special treasure to the four-letter man, YHWH. And your position is to be above all of the other 17 nations. That's what we've read so far. Now we're gonna show you, once you understand that, you untie the hands of the ones that have been anointed to take care of his business. Watch the conversation once you untie the hands of the ones he gave the message to. We're going to Deuteronomy 26, and we'll look at verse 15 down to verse 19. This is good, because we're going to break down why we do what we do according to Scripture. Deuteronomy 26, 15 down to verse 19. What does it say, young lion?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 15 down to verse number 19. Verse 15 reads, "Look down from your righteous habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us as you swear unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 16, "This day the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, hath commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You should therefore keep and do them with all your mind and with all your soul." Verse 17, "You have avouched the Yahuwah this day to be your Yahuwah, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice." Verse 18, "And the Yahuwah has avouched you this day to be his special people, as he has promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments." Verse 19, "And to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that you mayest be a righteous people unto the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, as he hath spoken."
Again, that you might be a righteous people to your mighty one. So he says, these are the words that were told to the children of Israel to be a righteous people. Now we got to precept that again to see if anything changed about being righteous by going to 119, verse 60, 142, and 144. We're going to Psalms 119, verse 60, then 142 and 144. What does it say there, young lion?
All right. Going over to the book of Psalms, we want chapter 119. We want to read verse 60, 142, and 144. The book of Psalms, 119. Verse 60, read, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." Verse 142, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. The righteousness of your covenant is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live."
You see that? So he letting you know the righteous is by you keeping the covenant, the commandments, the law, and you will live. But like I said again, now we got to start tying in who we talking about, but we clear that we know who this message has been talking about, but we going to make sure we beat it a little bit more. Now we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2 there, young lion. And we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. What did I say there, young lion?
Okay, we're going to read the book of 1 Peter. We want chapter 2, and we want to read verse 4 and verse number 5. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4 and verse number 5. Verse 4 reads, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of Yahweh, and the precious. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual temple and righteous priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh the Father by Yahweh the Son.
So now he brought in someone have been chosen to lead by example, but they were chosen to do this. So now we have to find out through the precept that what was Peter pulling that verse from, because he found out he's talking about a people that were chosen to do the statutes, laws, and commandments, and show up spiritual psalms and hymns. That means they're supposed to put it out spiritually, but they were chosen to do this. So now we have to find out who is chosen and take it from there. So who is chosen? We must go through the precept and see who is he talking about. Is it the whole world, or is it the specific people that's chosen? We're going to Isaiah 41 and see what 41 verse 1 say. I'm trying to tie in this world with Peter pulling this 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 from, because he didn't put a name on who was chosen, because he knew, you knew your foundation, which we're going to read in 1, 41 verse 1, what it say in Isaiah 41 verse 1, that young lion.
Going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and picking up at verse number 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 1 reads, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near to gather to judgment.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, he's talking some good stuff. Now we're going to skip down to verse number 8. So now you just heard some good talking right there. Now we're going to pick it up at verse number 8. Now we're going to do verse 8. What does verse 8 say?
Verse 8 reads, but you, Israel, are my servant, Israel whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend.
So you see, who was chosen again was Israel. Israel is who I have chosen. He said, and Abraham is my friend. So you see, he chose Israel. So Peter didn't put Israel in because Peter was talking to Israel. He didn't have to put it in because they had their foundation. See? 44 verse 1. Precept. 44 verse 1.
Look about Isaiah, chapter 44. We'll pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1 reads, yet now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen.
See that? So the one that was chosen to do Bible was Israel. That's all we got so far. But they were chosen to do Bible. So now we're going to Exodus 34, verse 10, young line. We're going to Exodus 10 and pick up verse 27, or skip down to 27 and 28. Exodus 34, 10, verse 27 and 28. Young line, young son, take your time, come on.
We're going over to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, And we want to read verse number 10, 22, down to 28. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, picking up at verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Yahweh. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with you." Verse number 22. "And you shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruit of the week."
Hold on a young man. Well, at the same time, you got to make sure you be clear on how we, what we say it. Now, in that book of Exodus, you know, I ran back real good there, young man, but I want to make sure we stay in growing in the 34th chapter. Now, you read verse 10. So, pick it up at verse 28. And 29, how that sound? So we want to make sure we stay real tight on the big dignitaries they concern. So now, you read Exodus 4, verse 10. Now look at 28 and 29 real carefully. Come on.
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 28 and verse 29. Verse 28 reads, "And he was there with the Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the law of Yahweh." Verse number 29. "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was with not that he that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him."
Good. All right, good. So when we said verse 27 and 28, you know, we had a chance to peep at it. So you read 26. But now come back and look at 27 and 28 there, young man. So that's where we at. Look at verse 27, still looking at verse 26, period. 27 and 28. What is that, young man? Look at 27 and 28. Let's keep it real tight there, come on.
All right. We're going back to read the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 27 and 28. Verse 27 reads, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, Write you these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." Verse 28. "And he was there with the Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the table the words of the covenant, the law."
So now, again, we find out right now the reason why we talk so much about Israel, because we writing about what he just did for the children of Israel. Moses brought them a covenant. And he said the covenant is after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with Israel. But the covenant is by the tenor of these words. That means we must know his words to be in a covenant with it. You can be Israel, but if you don't know the tenor of these words, you're not in a covenant with him. Because the covenant is after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee, Moses, and with Israel. So there's it there. So you got to be making sure you understand that it's the tenor of these words that activates the covenant of Yahweh, not you. I'm in a covenant with him, but what is the agreement to the covenant? You know, like when you sign old property or whatever, you got agreement to pay so much, so much. That's a contract. So it's a contract saying this is the tenor of the contract for the children of Israel. That means if they apply this, you in. If you don't, you breach it, and you break it, you out. So we're going to run and precept that to a seer, Jeremiah 31, there, young lion. We're going to precept that to Jeremiah 31 and find out more information pertaining to this verse 35 out of verse 37. We want to precept that to Jeremiah the seer and see what he said about this conversation when he was on the clock. Jeremiah 31, 35 down to verse 37. Young lion, come on.
We're going to the book of Jeremiah the seer. We want to read chapter 31, verses 35 down to verse 37. Verse 35 reads, thus says the Yahuwah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yahuwah of hosts is his name. Verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Yahuwah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Verse 37. Thus says the Yahuwah, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Yahuwah.
So he's saying, I made a covenant by these 10 of these words. And I'm clear that what he just said, the only way this covenant be disannulled, the elements that young lion just got to read, be disannulled. As long as you look up there and you see heaven, the stars, the moon, that means this covenant is in place with the children of Israel. This covenant is in place long as you see the elements above your head. Now we're going to precept that to 33 and look at verse 23, and then he's going to bring in another equation on this. Now watch what he brings in right here in Jeremiah 33, verse 23 down to verse 26. What do you say that, young lion?
All right. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse, we want 23 down to verse 26.
Well, yeah, okay, well, read verse 7 just to make it sound good, since you said that. Read 7 just to make it sound good. Just skip down to 23.
Okay, cool. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, picking up at verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, and I will cause the captivity of Yadah Judah and the captivity of Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, to return, and will build them as at the first. Verse number 23. Moreover, the word of the Yahuwah came to Jeremiah the seer, saying, verse 24, consider you not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Yahuwah had chosen, he had even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before me, before them. 25. Thus says the Yahuwah, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, verse 26, then will I cast away the seed of Israel and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them.
Mm-hmm. Now you're going to say it again. So now, the young lion did bring in northern kingdom Israel, and Judah, he did bring that in. So it couldn't have been no accident. So now, so if we back to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4, can we make it plain? Because the question is, it's better than this. We don't monitor a lot of your lessons, but all we hear you talking about is Israel, and you don't talk about nobody else. That's pretty good. So we're going to examine and see what you come up with behind these next two lessons on that fact. Jeremiah 30, verse 4 and 7. Jeremiah 30, verse 4 and verse 7 says what?
The book of Jeremiah, the seer, 4 and verse number 7. Verse 4 reads, "And these are the words that the Yahuwah spake concerning Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and concerning Yadah Judah, the southern kingdom." Verse number 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Israel's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it."
You see that? He said, this is Israel's time of trouble. He said, when you're reading the book of Jeremiah, we can go even deeper, but not when we stand for example. When you're reading the book of Jeremiah, the whole book of Jeremiah is concerning the children of Israel, northern kingdom, the children of Judah, Israel, the southern kingdom. Let's go to verse 4. Read again, verse 4.
All right, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, picking up at verse number 4. Verse 4 reads, "And these are the words that the Yahuwah spake concerning Israel, 10 northern tribes, and concerning Yadah Judah, the southern kingdom."
You see that? So when you're reading the Bible, especially when we using just Jeremiah, for example, the book is concerning the two families of Israel, southern and northern kingdom. See that? That's what it's concerning, the two families, southern and northern kingdom. And then David heard all this conversation, and David looked at this thing and said what in 50, verse number 7. David looked at all this thing by the mental spirit. See what David wrote in 50, verse 7, and we're going to precept that to 6, verse 4 of Deuteronomy. Let's see what David got written that we all can read together in Psalm 50, verse number 7.
The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahuwah, even your Yahuwah."
Yeah. So the Almighty is saying, "Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel." So his message, the Almighty's message when he was sent, when he sent the angel down, it was to O Israel. So far, we're seeing, but now, what do he want Israel to know, O Israel, by precepting your Bible to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4? What do he want, O Israel, to know according to Deuteronomy out of the heavenly tablets called the first five books? What do you want them to know in 6, verse 4?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse number 4. Verse 4 reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, is one Yahuwah."
That's what he wants, O Israel, to know. That our Yahuwah, one Yahuwah. So if you is Israel, which Israel is not a religion. Israel is a number chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, 16 to 19. Israel is not a religion. It's just like your parents had you. You had no say-so. So once you know what you know, hear, O Israel, your Yahweh is one Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Now we're going to look at something in the book of Numbers chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, 16 through 19. Young Lion, take your time. Come out.
All right, we're going to the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 to 19. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 3 reads, from 20 years old and over, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, you and Aaron the seer shall number them by their army. Verse 4. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the family of his father. Verse 5. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you, of the tribe of Reuben, Eleazar, the son of Shaddai. Verse 16. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribe of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron the seer took these men, which are expressed by their name. Verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigree after their family, by the family of their father, according to the number of the numbers formed, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their poles. Verse 19. As the Yahweh commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 45.
Verse 45. So were all those that were number of the children of Israel by the family of their fathers from 20 years old and over, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel.
So we find out the rules and regulations, children of Israel come together, especially the fathers, the heads of the families, the tribes. The first thing you're supposed to do is go over your pedigree, which means your bloodline. Make sure you know your bloodline. So this was told from the Almighty to tell Moses, tell Aaron, get all the heads of the fathers. Because your bloodline is from your father. The seed line is from your father. There's no such thing as they are mixed. That's my half-brother and sister. No. Whatever your daddy is, you is. The father carries the seed line, the bloodline. So whatever your father is, that's what you is. Whatever you plant in Mississippi and take it to Beverly Hills, California, the same seed. Whatever you plant, that's what it's going to be. See, that's when they tell you, you mix on three-quarter this. No. Whatever your father is, that's who you is. You got to declare your bloodline from your father. So remember, Jacob had 4 women, 13 kids, but all of them is bloodline Israelites from the father. not the mother, the father carries the seed. Whatever your father is, that's what you is. And we're going to precept that as we do among the children of Israel. In 1 Chronicles 9:1, we get a precept. What it say in 1 Chronicles 9:1?
All right, we're going over to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 9, and we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 9, and we're picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy. And behold,
all Israel is reckoned through genealogy. So when you Israel, you must always reckon through genealogy, not religion. Israel is not a religion. It is a genealogy. So you don't compare, well, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not an Israelite. I don't know where I am. No. You got no say-so when your parents got together and produced you. You have no say-so of your bloodline that produced you today. Israel is reckoned through genealogy. And when you come among Israel, you must find out what is your genealogy. Because that's how you reckon. You got it? Good. This is a covenant. Now, we go on to the book of Amos. There. Young Lion, we're going to the book of Amos and take a look at something in Amos 2, verse 11. What it says in Amos 2, 11.
All right. We're going over to the book of Amos. We're going to read chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at verse number 11. The book of Amos. Chapter 2. Verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, and I arise up your sons. Verse number 11. And I raise up your sons for seers, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O you children of Israel, says the Yahweh.
Now you see what was told to Amos? He says 18 nations on the planet Earth. But I've raised up your son for fear. Didn't I do this, O children of Israel? So all the ones that got connection with the Almighty One must come out of Israel. All the dignitaries that he raised up, he told Amos to go tell the children of Israel, I raised up your son to be my go-between, the seer. Now we're going to precept that in 3:24-25 of the book of Acts. Now see, once you precept your Bible, then you'll be your son, not the daughter. The daughters do not have this position. Only the sons have this position. The daughters do not have this position. I raised up your sons to be seer, not the daughter. So we're going to precept. It's an order about everything. And once we understand the order about things, and when you see things is not in order, then you know it's not going to work but temporarily like a band-aid. So when we go to Acts chapter 3 online, what we're going to get is a precept to see that anything changed after the Son got back into heaven. Did anything change? And I want to pick it up at verse 24. We're going to Acts chapter 3. And at this time, the Almighty was back sitting on the right hand of his Father. Let's see what they were talking about that we can read in Acts chapter 3, verse 24 down to verse 26. What can we read, young lion? Come on.
All right. We're going over to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 24 down to verse 26. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 24 reads, "Yea, and all the seers, from Samuel the seer, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Verse 25. "You are the children of the seers who are made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26. Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his son, Yahweh the son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his sins."
Yeah. So there is right there. There goes your precept. So this was foretold by the former seers. It was told that you are the children of the seer and of the covenant. See, we have to remind you what was foretold and to rehearse the righteous act according to Judges 5:11. We have to rehearse this righteous act. You are the children of the seer and of the covenant. So that it is on the right side of the book to remind you then the order that he came to you was first. So it was brought to you first. You is not an afterthought to children of Israel. It was brought to you first, having raised up the son and sent him to bless you. Now, to bless you, who is the you? We're going to precept that back to Genesis 49:28. Who is this up under blessing? Who is the you that we can read is up under this great big blessing that is talked about in the book of Acts after the son's back on the right hand? They knew the you then, but you don't know the you now. Who was blessed? We're going to 49:28, and we all read together. What it say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 28. The book of Genesis, chapter 49, picking up at verse number 28. The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 28 reads, "All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them."
You see that? So they didn't have to say it over here because they knew you had your foundation. So he had to say the children of Israel because he already knew you knew how to precept your Bible back to Genesis 49:28. Because we've been in captivity so long, we have to speak over their head or under their head, but not in their head. So he couldn't have put down you out of the bless you, O children of Israel, because he knew you had your foundation understanding from the get-go that this blessing was for the 12 tribes of Israel, every last one of them, if they obey the laws, statutes, and commandments, and after the tenor of these words, the covenant is. That means you have to obey the statutes, laws, and commandments. So you have to be clear what to obey. And you can't make these mistakes. Like, for example, you have to obey this right here by going to Numbers. You have to obey it. And when you see any sign of it is not being obeyed, you know it's not Yahweh. See, everything, we have to be obedient. And we got to obey this. He picked the men group to be the overseer. We know it's all over the place this day because we don't obey the covenant. In Numbers chapter 20, young line, what can we read 15 down to verse number 17? We go on to Numbers 27, verse 15 down to verse 17. Listen good. See, when you understand and if you got the Almighty in your life, then you will obey the tenor of these words. If you found anyone do not obey the tenor of these words, maybe because they ain't heard it. Okay, you give them the benefit of the doubt. But once they are heard it, once they are heard the tenor of these words, do you know what he got written? Put your mark in that, young lion. What, if you have heard this already, then in St. John chapter 9, verse 39 through 41, let's see what happens if you have heard the tenor of these words, but you just ain't going to pay it no never mind. Now, if you have never heard it before, then you can say, okay, I never heard that before, so now I got to make adjustments after I heard it. But if you have heard it before already and you pay it no never mind, let's see what we got written that we can read by him coming in the flesh. St. John chapter 9, verse 39 through 41. What did he say there, young man?
The book of St. John, chapter 9, verse, what was it? 35 down of.
Verse 39 through 41.
39. Okay, I'm going to okay, the book of St. John, chapter 9, verse 39 down to 41. Verse 39 reads, and Yahuwah the Son said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Verse 41. Yahuwah the Son said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.
You hear that? So, once you say, oh, I know what we're getting ready to read, but I'm going to let my feelings get in the way, and I'm going to get out of the order, guess what? That's when the clock starts ticking once you say, I know. Now, if you don't know, oh, I didn't know that. I thought it's based upon if I go to school, to college, and go to theologian school, I can be whatever I want to be. Yeah, that's in the world, but not according to the Bible. You can go into the world and do whatever desires to be. If you want to be a space, male or female, it's no problem. If you want to be the president of the United States, just go in wrong. It ain't no problem. But the Bible is a whole different type of category. You see, the Bible is totally different. It got rules and regulations that we must apply it. It's not how fast you run or how you jump. It's the rules and regulations. We get ready to read the rules and regulations. I don't care how much education you have. And the 27th chapter, verse 15 down to verse 17, what did it say there, young lion?
All right. We're going over to the book of, we want to read verse 15 down to verse number 17. The book of Numbers, chapter 27. I'll pick up at verse number 15. Verse 15 reads, and Moses spake unto Yahuwah, saying, verse 16, let the Yahuwah of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahuwah be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
Yeah. Now, if you're in an organization, if you're in a congregation, and the man of Israel is not leading the way, it is just like a sheep having no shepherd. Do you know the chaos if you go and see a bunch of sheep and they don't have no shepherd? And if Acts chapter 20 see them, Acts chapter 20, can you imagine a herd of sheep having no shepherd? In the 20th chapter there, young man, look what it says here, that if they spot this, ooh, we're going to Acts 20, verse 29.
Going to the book of Acts, chapter 20. We're going to pick it up at verse number 29. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 29. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29. 20, verse 29, read. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Now, wait a minute. So you telling me, young lion, if a bunch of sheep was out there on the prairie, and the wolf comes and see a bunch of sheep, but he sees no shepherd, because the shepherd had his bangle and he had his couple of his rottweilers with him too. And they look and they don't see no shepherd, the wolf, the wolf, he have a heyday. So you look at the scenario, if you see a woman head of a congregation is just like the wolf seeing sheep with no shepherd. That's what you working with, and that would be chaos on the sheep. The lion of the wolf will look and say, they look around and see, I see all the sheep I want to see, but I don't see no shepherd. So if there ain't no shepherd there, it ain't gonna be no banger there. If there ain't gonna be no banger there, there's gonna be no rottweilers there. No sheep dog. Man, we might well put our handkerchiefs around our throat and just walk down there and just fall up into some good eating. So that's what Moses said to Yahuwah. Set a man over the congregation to lead them in and to bring them out and lead them in. So if you see a woman over a congregation where men's at, you know that's not from the Bible. That's from, you can be all that you can be, but that's worldly. It's not Bible. It's chaos. So if any woman that don't know this, that is not your authority according to the Bible to be in front of men, you better have at no time. It's not Bible-wise. That's worldly-wise. And you're going to lose in the end. Read verse 30. Look what Paul said in verse 30.
The book of Acts, chapter 20, picking up at verse number 30. Verse 30 reads, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples from them.
You see that though? So if you got men to try to draw you away and say, it's all right to be up on a woman. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. A woman can lead. No. A woman can lead on a worldly job but not a Bible job. A woman don't lead according to Yahweh's Bible. And if any woman even think like that, pull her up and burn it out your brain because it's contrary to the Bible. You can be a mayor, you can be a president, you can be a whatever you want to be. But when it comes down to the Bible, it's rules and regulations how far a woman can go. And she wasn't created to lead the man. She was created to follow the man. Okay? Now, give me one more verse in 31. Let's see what else Paul says in 31.
All right, the book of Acts, chapter 20, picking up at verse number 31. 31 reads, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Hey, Paul said, I'm begging you, don't do it. I'm begging you, men, never get out of the will of the Bible. Stay in front of leadership of your family. Stay at the head. I'm begging you, with tears, don't do it because it's contrary to the Bible. I don't care how much education the woman has, worldly, but it's not spiritually of the Bible. You don't cross that line. Let's precept that to the book of Ezekiel 30. Ezekiel chapter 30, make it 34, verse 30 and 31. Let's see if we precept that, y'all line. If you can get a second witness on that by going to Ezekiel 34, verse 30 and 31. What that say?
All right. We're going over there to the book of Ezekiel this year. We're going to read chapter 34, and we want verses 30 and 31. The book of Ezekiel is here, chapter 34, verse 30 reads, thus shall they know that I, the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, am with them, and that they, even the family of Israel, are my people, said the Yahuwah. Verse 31, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your Yahuwah, says the Yahuwah.
The flock of my pasture, according to Yahuwah, is men. Men are not what you call a sex change. No. Biological men is the leaders of Yahuwah's flock. So if you being the best you can be, understand his rules and regulations according to the Bible, you don't step over the boundaries because you're out of the will of the mighty one, although you went to theologian school and everything else. You went and got all kind of degrees. But woman, do not do it. Because it's out of the will of Yahuwah to get in front of that man on any occasion because it's out of the will of Mighty One. Now we want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 there, young line. We want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. But like I said again, we're explaining the rules and regulations. And we can never get too tippy-toed to forget. Because after the tenor of these words, we went into a covenant with him. That's the key. After the tenor of these words, that means you're not following the tenor of these words,
You can be Israelite and anything else. But if you're not following the tenor of these words, then you out of the will of the mighty one. Now we're going to 1 Timothy chapter 2, young line, and we're going to look at a verse. So Paul had to bring this to the table because he was the man of the hour, so he had to go and bring it to the table. And this is what Paul said in 2:11-14. Now Paul had to read, because Paul said, this is what Paul said. Matter of fact, put your marker there, young lion. So Paul made a statement in 24th chapter, verse 14, on what he believed. You know, Apostle Paul, on what he believed. He said something that he believed in 24:14. And let's all read together what he said he believed in 24:15. What did he say?
Okay. You say 24:15?
24:14. What do Paul say he believed? Well, we're going to get, young line, we go and get Paul's thoughts. What do Paul believe? You know, Apostle Paul, the Pauline doctrine. What do he believe that we can read? Come on.
Okay. Hold on. Can call that out for more time, sir, because I don't miss that one.
Chapter 24, verse 14.
Okay. All right. The book of Acts, chapter 24, verse number 14. The book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 14. Verse 14, read. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Yahweh of my father, believing all things which are written in the law.
Talking, look here, I'm not raffled with anything. I believe everything I can read. Paul said, I'm reading. So what Paul get ready to talk about, I can read it. That's what Paul's saying. He said, when I'm coming to y'all, I'm coming to you because I read it in Numbers that the woman, if she leading a congregation, is just like sheep having no shepherd. And boy, the wolf gonna have a field day there. Matter of fact, what they'll do? They'll go out and purchase some handkerchiefs and put around their neck. So they can, you know, really work out. Because they looked around and see no shepherd. The shepherd is men. The flock is men. So now, in Acts 28, before you read that, what we said in 11 through 15, Paul is still, you know, doing a little talking in Acts 28 there, young line. Paul is still talking. And let's see what Paul say again about what he believes. Let's get a precept on what Paul believes. We go on to Acts 28, and we're going to pick up verse 21. Now, I tell you what, make it verse 20 just to make it sound good. 20 to 23 and 31. We want to find out. So Paul said he on this belief thing. Now, we want to precept that to Acts 28, verse 21. Now, pick up verse 20 just to make it sound good. Verse 20 to 23 and 31. What it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 28. Verse 20 to 23 and verse 31. The book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 20 reads, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with 21. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Yada Judah concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of you. Verse 22. But we desire to hear of you what you think. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, and to his lobby, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yahweh, it's the law of Moses, and out of the seers, from morning till evening. Verse 31, teaching the kingdom of Yahweh, and teaching those things which concerning the Yahweh the Son, with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
Uh-huh. Back up to 26, because you made a profound statement that he was, this was for the hope of Israel. And what we're teaching you now is for the hope of Israel, too. So back up and get a precept on there in the 26th chapter, verse 6 and 7 there, young lion. We're going to back up to Acts 26 and get a precept on this, but this is the hope of Israel, too. Because, you know, the question is, why you only talked about Israel and nobody else? Well, you're getting close to getting out of the ancient. Acts 26, verse 6 and 7 says what?
The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 reads, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Yahweh unto our fathers. Verse 7, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving Yahweh day and night, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accursed of Yadaju.
I'm accused by Judah. He said, oh, wicked Judah is accusing me or something. He said, this thing is about the hope of what the fathers had said. It's something that the fathers had said. He said, this thing is about the 12 tribes. He said, my thing, I'm on the 12 tribes. But some of the 12 tribes have a problem with me. And I wonder what part of the 12 tribes had a problem with me. Give me a precept in Mark 8:31. Get a precept and see who got a problem with Paul. See, when you precept your Bible, young learner, form, you know, outnumbered. But when you can just precept your Bible. And 8:31, the book of Mark, we just gonna precept the Bible. See, the precept the Bible is the game changer. So it's 8:31. Can you help those see up?
All right. The book of Mark, chapter 8, picking up at verse 31. 31 reads, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes 3 days, rise up, rise again.
Ain't that something? Who gonna deliver him up there, young lion, according to 8:31, the book of Mark? Who gonna deliver him up?
The elders, the chief priests, and the scribes.
Ain't that something? You see that? So that's the one you better watch. That's the one you better watch. Because they the one will deliver you up. The chief priests and the scribes. Can you give me St. John 12:11, that young line? Can I get and see that it's the chief priests and the scribes that gonna stir you up. But I want to get a precept in 12 verse 11 there, young lion. Can you go see up in 12 verse 11 of St. John?
All right. We're going to the book of St. John, chapter 12. And we're picking up at verse number 11. The book of St. John, chapter 12, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, because that by reason of him, many of Yadah Judah went away and believed on Yahweh.
So you had many believing, but you know who didn't believe in? The chief priests and scribes. So what delivered them up, see, a lot of them believe in boys will ever kill Israelites. But the chief priest and his tribe, they the one that is going to have the problem. They're going to try to stir the people up. And so the people, see, the people is believing what forces of the two Israelites, the six anointed camp, over 900,000 plus on the international side, and counting. They believe it. But guess who knows? The WCC, which means the World Council of Churches. It's not that they don't believe, but they're going to do everything they can to trap you up. The Roman Catholic Church, they're going to do everything they can to trap you up. The Latter-day Saints, they're going to do everything they can to trap you up. And every last one I have read, they all is Christian. Read the definition, who is the head of the Christian. Let me tell you what. Now, all of them, the WCC, World Council of Churches, they a form of Christian. The Latter-day Saints is a form of being a Christian. The World Council of Churches, the Catholic Church, they is a form of being Christian. But at the head of all, but at the head of the Christian, we want to find out by taking our telephone and ask a question. Who is the head of the Christian? And what did the young lion got that we can read?
All right. I'm going to, I'm pulling. Send me somewhere else right now. Let me one second still. I had some technical problems real quick.
So we want to find out, and we all can find together, who is the head of the Christian church. When you get to the top of it, like you notice here, the buck stops here, the head of the Christian church. That's what we want to find out.
Yeah, this old one I say the phone and acting right now.
I'll tell you what, we'll get it tomorrow. Tomorrow you can make a note of it in writing on that one telephone, the head of a Christian church. We can leave it off because we want to make sure that we read who is the head of a Christian church. But let's go back to now Paul saying, I believe everything that is written. And the law, everything that got written, he said, I'm with it. So now Paul is looking for Timothy. And now he better enlighten Timothy about some things. So Timothy and Titus going to be his 1-2 punch on keeping the message going forward. So now in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul looked Timothy and Titus eyeball to eyeball and said, y'all know I'm the man of the hour, but I'm anointing you to follow the rules and regulations. So he's talking to Timothy and Titus about this that he wants them to know, because they're going to have to carry the word on even up to this day. So now we're going to look at what 2:11 through 15 says when Paul looked them eyeball to eyeball on the messengers to carry the message. And what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. What did he say that young lion?
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 down to 15. Verse 11 reads, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the sin, or which was in the transgression. Verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and righteousness with sobriety.
What he said again, 2 verse 11, you mean Paul said, I believe everything that's written. So he must have read the book of Numbers and all the rest of it. What did Paul say to Timothy and Titus in 2 verse 11?
In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11 reads, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Wow. That was Paul told Timothy and Titus to take that message on. I love to be a fly on the wall when they took that message on. But what was the reason? Did he say that? It had to have been a reason. He must have had something he was going on to make a blanket statement like that. He had to have something, young lion. He was working with something to make a statement like that. He has to be working with something. I think we pre-sent out why did Paul make such a blanket statement like that? Let the woman learn in silence. Why would he say that? What was he basing that on that we can read? Let's go to the 44th chapter of Jeremiah and let's find out. Why did he say that? Let the woman learn in silence. When it comes down to the word of the Almighty, let her learn in silence. Is Paul being a stiff neck, a mean man? What is he working with? So we have to to find out what he's working with, young lion. We have to go to Psalms 119, verse 4. And 104, then precept that to the 28th chapter, verse 8 and 9, 8 through 10 of Isaiah. See, we got to find out why did Paul say that to Timothy and Titus? Why? We got to follow the rules of regulation, then maybe we might get them. Let's see if we find it. What's going on there? Young man, before we get to Jeremiah 44 verse 4. Let's see, can we find out whatever we just said? It don't got away from me. So probably you wrote it down and see you on the clock come up.
All right. I know he's going to Isaiah, but I got to mention in Isaiah.
It don't got away from me now. Because that was said that was given to me, you know why? So if you didn't write it down, then I guess it don't got to fit for me now. So what was I saying anyway? It don't got to wait for me because I'd be six steps ahead on something else. Can you recall what I was talking about?
I know you're saying before we go to Jeremiah chapter 44, or before we go to Isaiah.
Isaiah what? Well, I know I called it out.
Yeah, you called it out.
It's gone from me, that young lion. It's been removed from me. It's removed from me. You know, so it got away from me. So, go back and what was the last thing that we put down in young lion? What was the last thing? You don't got to listen to me now. I know I'm going to Jeremiah 44 verse 4, but I did just to say, find out why did Paul was so blunt of making that statement, let the woman learn in silence. And I said something about some verses there, young man, but don't got away from me. So I guess it's not for his lesson then. Okay, so we go to Jeremiah. you can't recall, so you ever got away from it, huh? Of course, Jeremiah 44. We're going to find out, why did Paul say that? See, Paul said something. Why did he say that? Let the woman learn in silence. A woman do not supposed to have no authority over the man. Why did Paul say that? What was he working with? We go and see, can we find out? Because he believed everything that was written in the Bible, telling you left side. So you have to have something he was pulling that from. Let's go to the 44th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 4. Let's see, can we find out what Paul was pulling that from to make such a profound statement? Let the woman learn in silence. I suffer not a woman to have authority over man. That big talk he was saying. Why? Where are you pulling it from? Let's investigate it. Now I recall what I said. Spirit brought it back to me again. That was the book of Psalm 119, verse 4 and 104. Then go down to Isaiah 28, 8 through 10. Thank you, WCC. Look at WCC. Man, that was saying. Do you want us to read too? No, I want y'all to read. No. No, you just keep jiggling the wires like y'all been doing. See? WCC, the World Catholic Churches, so they pay attention real close. No, you just continue to jiggle the wires. Like you keep doing what you do best. According to WCC, it is Psalms 119, verse 4, 104, back up to Isaiah 28, 8 through 10.
The book of Psalms, chapter 119, the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 4 and verse 104. Verse 4 reads, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Verse 104 reads, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Verse 8 down to verse number 10. Verse 8 reads, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
Mm-hmm. So you must precept your Bible. So the only way Paul can make a statement about what not to do, you got to go precept your Bible and see why did Paul go over to Corinth. The Corinthians, which is another branch of Israelites that was scattered, and tell them, let your woman be, 1434, of 1 Corinthians. Paul still talking. Paul, I don't know if he's digging himself real deep, but we're going to find out. What did Paul say in 1434? 1 Corinthians 1434. We're going to find out why Paul is making these statements there, young man. We got to find out because Paul would not tell Timothy these things. And then he just can't be saying it about being a mean man. He got to be pulling this thing. But we read his resume. He believes everything that's written in the law and into the seers. He said he believes it. So that if you believe it, that means you got to stand on it regardless, whether to your left, whether to your right. Let's find out some more on the way to find out something. What you reading there, young line?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse number 34. 34 reads, let your women keep silent in the temple, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law.
Wow, that's all what Paul's saying. Now, Paul, he got to be, he said, then he brought in the law. So Paul said what he was telling you, not he being a mean man, he read it from the law. Y'all, Paul just said he did.
As also says the law. What he said.
Also says the law, huh? So now we got to go back and find out what Paul pulling that from. Because now we know that in Numbers, that was one, but now we want to find out in Jeremiah 44, verse 4, then skip down to 15 till we get our point. And read down from 15 till we get our point. What it said we can read, fourth chapter of Jeremiah, verse 4, then skip down to verse 15, we'll read till we get our point. And I want to know what is the tenor of this conversation. Jeremiah 44, verse 4. What's going on there, young lion?
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 44, picking up at verse number 4. Give it down to verse 15. Verse 4 reads, howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants to see it, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, young man. Can't they get away? Howbeit, I have sent unto you all my servants to fear, rising up early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate that something. You mean he tells the city, you got to go tell them it's something that I hate. I got to get a precept back up. Put a marker there, young lion. Go to the 25th chapter. Let's go to... I need a precept and stay in Jeremiah, but I need a precept in the 25th chapter. And I need a precept. He's telling the seer, you know, I'm imagining you got to come tell the seer that, but then the seer got to go deliver the message you gave him. Ain't nobody else heard it but you, and you got to go tell it. God, that's big. Think about it. What? Yeah, well, Yahweh said, if something to tell is a bummer thing that he hates. So you got to be the one to go tell it. That's big trouble there. So now, in the 25th chapter, look what he says in verse number 7. Now, the reason why he say that, told the seer, remember, he stood up on the seer, passed around, so seer just writing down what he's saying, and he one got the one, be the one to deliver the knockout blow. 25, verse 7, Jeremiah.
All right. We're going to the book of Jeremiah, the seer, chapter 25, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Yahuwah, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt.
And that's right. Yahuwah is saying that, tell him before I hurt him. I'm going to hurt you. Now he said, so it's a bummer thing that he hates. He hates. Now we're going back to the 44th chapter. He's not fear. Go over there and tell him. Tell them, the children of Israel, it's some things that's abominable that I hate. Now we're going back to the 44th chapter, and now we're going to pick up the verse number particularly verse number. Particularly verse number 14.
All right.
44:14. What do 44:14 say?
We're going back to the book of Jeremiah this year. We're going to pick it up at verse number, chapter 44, verse number 14. The book of Jeremiah this year, chapter 44, verse 14, and it reads, so that none of the remnant of Yadah Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt, to sojourn there, should escape or remain. They should return into the land of Yadah Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape.
You hear what he say? He said, now, Judah, he said, it went down into Egypt, bondage. He said, ain't none of y'all gonna, I ain't letting y'all come up out of there. He talked to the men of Judah. He said, I ain't letting you come up out of there. He told Jeremiah to get over there and do some talking and let them know the one that I went down to Egypt, slavery again, and they desired to return back to Judah. But he said, you're not coming back there. You ain't going to do it. I wonder why he said you ain't going to do it. Why? Verse 15, why? Why? Why are you not going to let these men come back to Judah? Verse 15.
Verse 15 reads, and all the men which knew that their wives had burnt incense unto false Yahweh, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah the seer, saying,
Wait a minute, young man. We gotta investigate this. So what are you telling me going on in here? Then all the men which knew that their wife was burning incense unto other false Yahweh. The men knew about it. They knew what they were doing. You got men knowing that your woman is out of order. You know it. She out of order. You know it. These men knew what their wives were doing. Is that what we're reading, young man?
Hallelujah. Why? They know it.
They know it. And let's see who's going to address Jeremiah the seer. Jeremiah was sent over there to them, and the men were standing by and knew what his their wife was doing. What did verse 16 say?
Verse 16 reads, as for the word that you have spoken unto us, in the name of the Yahweh, we would not hearken unto you.
Well, who was talking to Jeremiah, young man? Who was telling Jeremiah this?
Who was telling Jeremiah that was the women.
According to the who?
The women.
The women is talking. You mean when fear came to tell the men what Yahweh was saying,
mm-hmm.
The women were talking?
The women.
The women.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can get a statement to, because WCC said, are you sure that the women talking? Seer, we think we got you now. Oh, yeah? Then you got me now, WCC? Get down to verse 20. Come back in a minute. Verse 20.
Okay, verse 20. Verse 20 reads, then Jeremiah the seer said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying.
Okay, good. So Jeremiah heard their statement. But now we want to back up. Back up to verse number 17 and 18.
All right. Verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17 reads, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Yadadjuda, and in the streets of Yadadjuda. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Verse 18. But since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Verse 19. And when we burnt incense to the queen of heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cake to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?
What?
Without our men.
Without our men. So who was talking to Jeremiah?
The women.
The women. They said we done this thing without our men. And we was all good. So now we was wanna know why did Paul tell them to hush up? Because they were doing something, they had them got it in front of the man. They was burning incense to the queen of heaven without our men. The men just sit back and just watch it. And when Jeremiah came to tell what Yahweh said, what he hates, the men was in the background, and the women's the one answered Jeremiah. The women answered Jeremiah, said in verse 16. The women said, verse 16, what did they say?
Verse 16 reads, and for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of Yahuwah, we will not hearken unto you.
Hey, that's fine. Who telling Jeremiah this?
The women.
The women. The women. What did Yahuwah say in verse 14, 44:4?
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, we're going over to verse number 4 now. Verse 4 reads, howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the seers, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abomination, this abominable thing that I hate.
So what do Yahweh hate there, according to what we just got to read over here? So what do Yahweh hate? Paul was so. Mm-hmm. So what do Yahweh hate? That we just got to read that was going on.
The women trying to take lead and running off at the mouth.
Hey, that's and how do Yahweh look at that again according to verse 4?
As an abominable thing.
Hey, that. you hear him? So now we see why Paul said what he said. Because the women was pouring out to the queen of heaven. And as time progresses on, In Acts chapter 16, verse 16 down to verse 22, this queen of heaven was Semiramis at this time, but as time progresses on, Semiramis taking on another name in Acts 16, 16 to 22. What's her name?
All right. We're going to the book of Acts 16, 16, and 22. All right. We get to the book of Acts chapter 16. We want verse number 16, and we want verse number 22. The book of Acts chapter...
Hey, young man, take it right down.
Okay.
For 16 down to 22. Let's can we analyze this right here. As Yahweh the Son came and went back to heaven, Paul met the congregations while Yahweh was back in heaven, and Paul made profound statements. What was he basing on all this conversation on? Maybe in the book of Acts, we can be clear what Paul, why did he say what he said, let the women keep a fat mouth closed in the congregation? Maybe we can find out in Acts 16, 16, 22. What do you say?
All right. We're going to the book of Acts, chapter 16, picking up at verse 16, reading down to 22. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 reads, "And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which bought her master much gain by soothsaying." Verse 17, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High Yahweh, which show unto us the way of salvation." Verse 18. "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Yahweh the Son to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Verse 19. "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the ruler." Verse 20. "And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Yada Judah, do exceedingly trouble our city." 21. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Verse 22. "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them."
Well, wait a minute, young man. Wait a minute. They start beating Paul and Silas up because they bring things they from the Most High, and they bring things that's not custom to our ears, and we ain't hearing that. What was custom to their ears in verse 16 and 17? What were they on? What were they on in verse 16 and 17?
The book of Acts chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. And it was custom to verse 16, 17 read. "And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which bought her master much gain by soothsaying." Verse 17. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men of the Most High Yahweh will show unto us the way of salvation."
Read verse 16 again. What was the people and the big dignitaries, what were they on again in verse 16?
Verse 16 reads, "And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which bought her masters much gain by soothsaying."
Oh! So a woman, she was doing witchcraft. And everybody was following the woman's witchcraft. The woman was the one that the men and all had been bewitched up on the witchcraft. And it said, Paul is bringing up the way of the Most High for salvation. But we love the witchcraft stuff from the women. Is that what we're reading?
We read.
Acts 19, verse 24
reads, For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, bought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Verse 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Verse 26, moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all ages, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no Yahweh, which are made with hands. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great Yahwadris, Diana, should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Verse 28. And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
I be doggone. Again, you want to take a shot at that, young man? I be doggone. You mean the men, again, behind the woman.
Mm-hmm.
The woman was, had her fat mouth going again. And they was sucking it all in again. And they and the woman was head of the congregation. The, they was there for the women to show them the way opposite of what Yahweh said. He said, these men are here by Yahweh. We on this delegation thing from the women. The women was leading the way again. We'll take a shot of that on a little conversation there, young line. What did you get out of verse 24 to 28? Take a shot at it there, young line. You ain't got to go to work to take a shot at it. What you get out of them 24 to 28?
Well, I get out of that these men was following a abominable woman. That they ain't had no problem with following the abominable woman, and also they were also willing to continue after Paul came to teach them the truth. They also continued wanting to praise and serve the woman and stay behind the woman.
Ain't that something? Didn't we read in the 44:4? We're not going back to again. Go tell them on what I hate. So what do Yahweh hate?
He hate a woman to lead and with a loud mouth.
Ain't that something? Get down to verse 33 to 36. And
the book
Acts 19:33 to 36 says what?
The book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 33 down to verse 36. Verse 33 reads, And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, Yada Judah, putting him forth. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. 34. But when they knew that he was Yada Judah, all with one voice about the space cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great Yahweh, Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Verse 36. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye are to be quiet and to do nothing rashly."
You mean they got together in the theater for the space of 2 hours? They was hollering, "What? Great is Diana." Imagine a crowd. "Great is Diana." They in a very big theater. And all of them with, but imagine somebody saying the same thing for 2 hours. "Great is Diana. Great is the Queen of Heaven." You see why Paul said, and these women have the same spirit then, and some of them got it now. And that's why you can't tell a woman now that's not your position, because that's why Paul, when he walked right in the door, he said the women, "Shut your mouth up." Because the women had the spirit of leading the men through the history of it. But Yahweh said he don't like that. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 17. Let's see what Yahweh says. See, Yahweh talks through all the lessons. So if you men got a woman with a fat mouth when you present, Yahweh don't like it. If you men got a woman leading the congregation, Yahweh don't like it. He hated. And his hate is perfect. And he's going to deal you off by in the background while your woman has got a mouth going and you present. Unless you call on them to read.
Hallelujah, well.
That then ain't being a help me to you. But otherwise, taking the lead on running them out, Yahweh said in 44 of Jeremiah, "Go tell them what I hate." Now we're going to precept that to 13, 17, and another fear, what did he say in Ezekiel 13, 17?
Well, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, picking up at verse number 17. 17 reads, "Likewise, the son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people, which prophesies out of their own mind, and prophesies prophesies thou against them."
Ain't that something? He said, what are the daughters doing again in verse 17?
The verse 17, "which prophesies out of their own mind."
And prophesies against, and telling the seer, go prophesy against them. Go tell me out of order. Now, you know what he say? He told the seer to go tell them they're out of order. They're going to say, well, when he said all to you? He ain't said nothing to me. You see what they're going to say? Well, when he said to you, he ain't say that to me. But he don't operate like that. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. 18 through 28 in the closing statement there, young line. You still tall and grass out, although WCC said we locked everybody out of the room. So they didn't get in the room, they locked out. So, well, y'all know what he's on. Jeremiah 7, 18 through 28. And we're going to close the statement behind that there, young line. Jeremiah chapter 7, 18 through 28 in the closing statement come out.
We're going to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18 down to 28. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18 down to 28. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 18 reads, "The children gathered wood, and the women kneaded their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other Yahuwahs, that they may provoke me to anger." Verse 19, "Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Yahuwah? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces?" 20, "Therefore, thus says the Yahuwah, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched." Verse 21, "Thus says the Yahuwah of hosts, the Yahuwah of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh." Verse 22, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." Verse 23, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Yahuwah, and you should be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Verse 24, "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsel and the images, imaginations of their evil mind, and went backward, and not forward." Verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the seers, daily, rising up early and sending them." 26, "Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Verse 27, "For you shall speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. You shall also call it unto them, but they will not answer thee." Verse 28, "And thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth."
Ain't that something? He said, go tell them, but they're not gonna listen to you. They're going to always have a comeback statement. And although you look at them plainly in Ezekiel 8, 14, and 17, the closing statement in your line, what do they do? To this day, Ezekiel 8, 14, and 17 in the closing statement.
Okay, we're going to the book of Ezekiel. It's here. Chapter 8, verse 14, and verse 17. Going to the book of Ezekiel, the fifth, chapter 8, verse 14, reads, "Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Yahuwah's temple, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women reaping for Tammuz the devil." Verse 17, "Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the family of Yada Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose."
Ain't that son? Young man, your hair tall and grand style, no doubt about it. But we got a lot out of take number four, so... what do you got to tell this national audience? And your closing statement is all yours. And y'all probably be with everybody. Remember, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, be back on the airwaves. Your line, it's all yours. Excellent on your part. Come on.
Thank Yahweh for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity to meet the seer, Israel, of Seawood, to be able to learn the word of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife and children, to be able to teach them the word, the laws of Yahweh. And I also want to thank Yahweh for the elders, the mothers, all the brothers and sisters in the 60 million camps, and also the teachers, and for bringing the 12 tribes of Israel under one name and one law, YHWH, Yahweh. I want to read Isaiah chapter.